Certainly this morning, we thank the Lord for all of you that have gathered, all our members and our friends, neighbors, together to celebrate again this day that we really celebrate our Lord's resurrection. We don't serve a Christ that's still in the grave.
Thank you, Lord God.
We believe with all of our hearts that God has raised him from the dead.
Yes,
the point that we have interactions with him on a daily basis. And sometimes the things that we talk about, amen. See, we so much believe he's alive. We're willing, we have talks with him, conversation, and spend time with him. And sometimes the things that me and him, us and him talk about, you know, connections and conversations, he tells us some things that he's going to do and he does it.
Yeah.
Hello? And we ask him to do some things and he does it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we'll ask him to do some things, amen, and he don't do it, and all down the line we're thankful that he didn't
right,
do it.
Right.
So that's why we know he lives, amen?
Amen.
That's why we know he lives. We serve a living Savior. Amen. Thank God for him. Well, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Found in the book of 1 John, beginning at verse 5. It's on your, if you have the outline printed notes, you can follow along with us there. We're beginning in chapter 1, verse 5, and reading through chapter 2, verse 2. You remember the Word of God, and it was not written with the verses and chapters that we have now. They were added later. And this is a letter, amen, that John had wrote. So that's why we're going into chapter 2, because it's, I think the complete thought is at chapter 2, verse 2. All right, chapter 1, verse 5 begins. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Yeah, but now look at this verse 7. This is the key verse of the whole message. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
In the presence of the Lord. What a good God.
Amen.
We continue our series from the first epistle of John, Living Love. Amen. And I'm hoping as we go through this epistle, you will begin to on a daily basis experience God's love in your life. Amen. A lot of times we can be followers of Christ, but even as followers of Christ, we miss out on the abundant life.
Amen.
Amen. I may mention that a little bit later. But this morning, I want to talk about living the lit life.
All right.
Living the lit life. And I want to tell you, as I start out, amen, it's time for us as followers of Christ, it's time for us to get lit.
Amen.
Somebody just had a rough night last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they fully awake.
All right.
And said, Pastor, you know, I've been waiting for that sermon. I've been waiting for that sermon a long time. I know I came to church for something this morning. Amen. I've been waiting for you to. Amen. But let me see if I can help you to understand where we're going with that lit eye. Ideal. Now I know in an urban context that when that was used, I'm not sure you could see it in passion, but when it was used, one of the key things that it meant was when one was intoxicated.
All right.
Yeah, when you got intoxicated. And it comes from the expression that's on the face of an intoxicated person.
Right.
Whether it's with drinks or drugs, it's that smiling, happy expression that's on their face, and when that happiness in their countenance, amen, makes it seem like they were lit up. It's the same thing, and not only deal with an intoxication, but it also. If you've seen it, I've seen it on news sometimes when a child is at school and going through their routine at school, and they have a parent that serves in the armed forces.
Uh-huh.
And that parent comes back and surprises them.
Right.
And when that child sees the parents, seem like their whole countenance. Let's light up, and we can say that child at that time, because of the excitement that they are experiencing, that child is lit.
Right.
Because it also talks about it, something being exciting.
All right.
Yeah. I've heard it, and I'm glad to hear it. Someone even say, even after worship experience, oh man, church was lit.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because if anything, church,
if
anything ought to be lit, church ought to be.
Yeah.
Not only that, I heard it in another context, and that's when you see and amaze something that's amazing or has such excellence involved. And you see something that's so excellent, man, that was lit. Because it's just an amazing thing to see.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes it's maybe an athletic event, and you say, oh, they game last night. Well, maybe because it was just it's such a great, you might have said that when Tiger won, amen, the match was all. It was because it was such an amazing event. So those are different ways that's kind of used. So you understand that idea. Now I want to talk about being biblically lit.
All right.
What is this thing that can lift our confidence, our confidence, where people can see joy and see a difference in our life? You can be biblically lit. And the way it happens is when you experience fellowship with God. Now I want to tell you again, let me remind you, we pointed out the difference between fellowship and relationship.
Right.
Amen. If you're a follower of Christ, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, you trusted in His finished work, you have a relationship with Him. But though you have a relationship with Him, you may not necessarily have fellowship. Fellowship is the enjoyment of an intimate and vital and dynamic relationship. You can have the relationship, but because you don't have the closeness, the intimacy of it, you don't have a joy. That's what happened when the child saw the parent who had been gone overseas. They still had the relationship. Amen. They were still parent and child, child and parent. But because of the distance they were apart, they couldn't experience the joy of an intimate, vital, dynamic relationship.
All right.
Or they could maybe see each other over the computer, but they still couldn't touch.
Yeah.
Go to the park.
Yeah.
Go to the amusement park. Hang out at CC because they were so far apart.
Yeah.
That's how it is sometimes when we believers so far, even though we have a relationship with Christ, but because we haven't had the closeness or the contact with Him, we lose the joy of the experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't waste. Not only does He want us to have, not only does God want us to have eternal life, which comes from relationship, but He wants us to have abundant life, they come from the fellowship.
Right.
Yeah, y'all hear that?
Yes.
Eternal life, you can never lose it once you get into relationship. It's an eternal relationship. Right. He gives us eternal life when we put our belief in Him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll give you that eternal life. But now, fellowship is something, amen, that we have to have the willingness to be close and to do some things in order to experience that fellowship. Y'all with me so far?
Amen.
But when you're in that fellowship and you come out of it, you look different. Your confidence is lit.
Right.
It's in the Bible. Exodus 34:29. When Moses went up on the mountain to be with God and got the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
If you read Exodus 34:29 later, you'll see when Moses came down from the mountain, his whole face shined.
Right.
Moses got lit. Y'all didn't know Moses got lit. His whole face shining. He had to put a veil on it. Amen. Moses. Why? Because he had fellowship.
Yeah.
With God.
The word.
Psalms 16:11 says, in the presence of the Lord, there's blessing forevermore. Just get in His presence. You come out different.
That's real.
Look at in Luke 24:23, this is what happened. This is after Jesus was resurrected. A couple of disciples kind of figured this thing out. And they were walking along the way. And somebody came up to get with them.
Yeah.
They were just walking along. All of a sudden this other person came up. And he started talking and explaining the scripture. And talking about how the scripture talks about Christ. And they just went on talking. Because they were actually walking with Christ.
Right,
but
right.
God, the Holy Spirit, they kind of veiled where they would know they were walking with Christ. They just walking with Jesus, and Jesus was explaining the scripture, how the scripture was talking about Him. And they walked along. And then they said, when they finally figured out it was Jesus and He left, they said, oh, how our hearts burned. Oh, Lord.
Right.
There was an intent. when he was talking yeah. about Christian, we said a little love began to intensify in our hearts. I'm trying to tell you, when you get close to God, you better be careful because you might leave lit. In John, in those first four verses, amen, when you talked about hey, how we touched and we had that closeness that we are trying to get y'all to come into. Because we've been quiet, I touched you down, I heard him, and I saw him, we touched him. And John, in that last part of verse 4, said, because of that closeness we had, that fellowship we had, we got a hot jar, got complete. We got a full jar. See, if you're a Christian, you don't have joy and excitement. It's because you don't have fellowship. Fellowship can give you excitement even when your circumstances
are right.
Fellowship can give you joy even when you're not on a mountain, but you're on a valley. Yeah. But fellowship with him can even give you joy in the valley.
Yeah.
And people can't understand it, but they don't realize it's because you've been spending some time with the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Fellowship. Yeah.
Write this one down so you can. Got a pen, Acts 4:13. Acts 4:13, it goes with that. It said, I think it was Peter and John, they were preaching, and folk trying to tell them shut up, you know. And they said, you know, they said, hey, they don't have a degree. They haven't been to college. And they don't know much about it, but the way it was, the courage and the boldness that they had. Speaking for Christ, they said these men must have. We think they've been with Jesus.
Right.
Come on now.
Wait a minute. Now, when you go to work Monday morning,
yeah.
Look, some of your co-workers say, wow, they must have been with Jesus. When you do ministry, if you spend time with God, when you do ministry, somebody I know, oh, I think they've been with Jesus. Ministers, when we share the word of God, folk ought to see amongst everything.
Yeah.
Amen. That, I don't mind, don't worry about if you've been to seminary or not, but the question is, how did you get
Jesus?
All right, now they go to seminary, but folk ought not, that's not the main thing people should see. They should see that you've been with the Lord. There's something about it that I can't put my hand on it. But I thank you to spend some time with the Lord.
My Lord.
And then the fellowship idea. The fellowship idea. John sometimes in his gospel, when he's actually giving in illustration of fellowship, uses the word abide. If you abide in him, if you abide in me, and I in you, fellowship. Abiding in the vine. If you abide in the vine, you'll have fruit. And then you'll have more fruit. That's dynamic. See, dynamic means you're growing. It changes your trajectory of life. When you have a dynamic relationship with Christ, amen, you'll start out with fruit, but then you go to more fruit, and then you end up with much fruit. So, in other words, abiding leads to abounding. If you want an abundant life, your abundance of that life comes from abounding. It's not talking about having a lot of stuff. Most time we hear abundant life, we're thinking about stuff.
He
ain't talking about having a lot of stuff.
Right.
He's talking about the ability to reflect the character of Christ in your life.
Right.
The joy, peace, If you abide in him, you'll get lit. Because you'll be a light. Amen. A light means you will reflect all that you will begin to reflect in your life. All that God is.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's get a little bit more into the word. Verse 5, this is the message we heard from him. We pray. We heard it from Jesus. We will tell you what he said. Jesus said that God is light.
Yeah.
And in him is no darkness at all.
No.
Light is a metaphor that he uses for holiness. A moral purity. In other words, God is completely and totally perfect. There is no evil.
Amen.
He's perfectly good and holy.
Uh-huh.
There is no evil in God at all.
Amen. Right.
Perfect holiness. Amen. That's what he said. God is perfectly holy.
Yes.
Perfectly good. No evil or darkness in him at all. So now, if you say that you got fellowship with him,
all right,
and walk in darkness, you're saying that you're in abiding in the vine of holiness, and yet darkness is on your branch.
Y'all.
It don't make sense.
Because
if it's a grapevine, it's going to have. If whatever kind of tree it is, if it's a pecan tree, amen. And you go out there in the path, paths don't grow on pecan tree. So, what John is saying, amen, if you a pecan, you saying you a branch in a pecan tree and you got paths on you, you lie. You're not a pecan tree, you're a path. Because your fellowship changed the trajectory of your life. When you get close to him, he'll change you. None of us are perfect, but you keep getting close to him. The more you stay close to him in his intimate relationship, in his spirit, his love, he will change you. I told you last week that he changed John with his anger issues.
Amen.
And to the beloved disciple, from the son of thunder to the beloved disciple, he'll change you.
It works.
If you'll stay in his presence. The problem is you may have a relationship, but you don't get in his presence enough for him to change the trajectory of your life. He don't change you. You don't see no transformation. So if you say you have fellowship with him, you ought to be seen in your life. Listen. Seven says, this is what, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If I can show you how to know if you have fellowship with God, if you've been experiencing his fellowship. Because he said, if you walk in the light because you are abiding in the light. Light. Amen. If you got a light tree.
Right.
Well, if you got a light vine, light grows on it.
Right.
Amen.
If you abide in light, your life begins to reflect that light.
Amen.
If you have a close fellowship with God, light will be, that's the way to know. People know you have a relationship with him. You won't have to have no t-shirt that says you got a relationship with him. You won't have to have no sticker on your car that says you got a relationship with him. People already know because they will see the light of his light in your life. They will see Jesus in your life.
Amen.
body.
Yes.
I think you've been with Jesus. I think she's been with Jesus. Because they can see the light. You're walking in the light. And that's when you live. That's when you live, because the fellowship lights you. It's like back in the day. Back in the day, somebody was, some of the smokers, they would say, "Do you have a light?" You know, or they see another smoker. And they say, "You, do you have a light? Can I get a light from you?" And what that smoker would do, they, you know, they take the cigarette down. Now, hey, if you wear, if somebody was smoking and wearing that thing, rope, and I had a cigarette, I couldn't get him a light. In order for me to give him a light, we got to make a connection.
Right.
We got to have some contact. And then a light is transferred from one. Oh, maybe y'all want to focus. Amen. But this doesn't matter. If I had a candle, amen, if I had a candle, and we were in the dark, lights went out, and I had a candle, amen, and you had a candle on the back, my candle lit, your candle not lit. In order for you to get your candle lit, we got to make a what?
Connection.
We got to get together, amen. Amen. So same thing about, amen, we got to make, we got to spend time with Christ.
Right.
And when we spend time with Christ, we get lit.
Right.
We can walk in the litness. Our confidence changes. We get joy, and people can see because for some reason our lives are different. Now, so connection and contact with God, that's what they're talking about there. But now let's go down to 2. Let me tell you something. Because what's going to happen? When you get the reason why you're going to change, because what's going to happen when you get close to God?
Yeah, addiction.
When you get close up on God, amen, there's going to become a conscience, a consciousness, and a conviction of sin.
Yeah,
it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel so good.
In this scripture, man says, the reason why he didn't realize, hey, he was lying. Because he was so far back. He thought he was doing, I've got to do that with God.
Yeah.
You don't realize you don't because you haven't been close to me.
Right. That's real. That's real. Been there. Amen.
The closer you get to him, the more you see how messed up you are.
Right. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, mercy. Oh, God.
I remember we was in Colorado. And we went to a place called Garden of Gods. And they got these great rock formations. It's a beautiful place. And as you stand back, you know, you kind of see that they're big. Wow, that's nice. But you know, the closer, then we kind of got, you know, we left our base point and actually went out to where they were. And then you walk in next to them, and they're a lot bigger than they look when you were from the when you were looking at them from the observation deck. Now they're, wow. And you look at how big, how great, how gigantic they are, and you see how small you are. Because why you got close to
God.
When you're full away from God. Maybe something wrong in your life don't seem like it's all this. It don't seem as evil as it is. Sin don't seem as evil as it is. But once you really get into God and understand God and God's character, then you can really see how evil your sin is.
It's
like you get close to them, oh, you know, I didn't think I was evil until a while. You got to come to God, oh, I'm messed up.
Amen.
Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. Isaiah. In chapter 6 of Isaiah. Isaiah had a vision. He got in contact and got a close look at God through a vision. Isaiah got a close look at God through a vision. And Isaiah saw the angel saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And the glory of God filled the temple. And Isaiah, the prophet, and say, I messed up. I thought I was doing pretty good. I thought when God called me to be a prophet, I thought I was doing pretty good. I messed up. Sometimes you got to realize you messed up. You know, sometimes why we don't realize we messed up? Because we haven't got close to God. We got close to somebody else that was more messed up than us. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You got close to somebody else. Up. I ain't that bad. Let me share this story with you. You all kind of hear it coming. There were two brothers. And they, you know, they were just immoral. And they just, people all over the city knew how sinful and messed up that they were. One of the brothers suddenly died. So the brother that survived, went to the minister that was going to preach the funeral. Said this, if you can refer when you're preaching the eulogy, my brother, if you can refer to him as being a saint, I need a whole lot of money. Just say he's a saint. Just tell people you're going to be a disciple. So, Pastor, please talk about it. He said, okay. Thank you, man. So, he went, funeral came about. And Pastor, now, this man, talking about his brother had died, that we come to bury was a thief. In fact, he deserved every bad description of mind and muscle. He was depraved, immoral, lewd, obscene, hateful, vicious, licentious, the scum of the earth. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. See, some of them think we are all that because we're comparing ourselves not to God, that's holy, but we're comparing to somebody that's worse than us.
All right.
That's why we say we're walking in the light. Because we're looking at somebody else that's darker than us. We sit in dark, they country dark. I wish I had a witness up in here. But when you get close to God, you see the evilness of your sin. Isaiah said, I'm a wretch and undone. My lips are unclean. How can I speak for you, God? Because I'm unclean and everybody around is unclean. Amen. We just not going to be able to work it out together. We're all unclean. Oh, hallelujah. But then when he confessed that he was unclean, the angel went and got a tongue and off the fire, off the altar. Where they sacrificed the animals, where sacrificed for our sin and bought that and put it on his lips and cleaned them up.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you might be unclean, but if you're willing to deal with your uncleanliness,
that's real.
He's able to fix your uncleanliness.
Amen.
Let me go back. Show you what I'm talking about. When we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And listen here. When you realize where you are, you're walking in the light, you're trying to walk in the way God wants you to walk, when you've been in his presence, spend time with him, it says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us.
Thank you, Lord God.
He'll get the tongue and altar and have the angel put it on your lips and figure to it. You can be clean. Listen. But secondly, let me move on. Where we going to put the kids? I got a kid, got a program, and I got to move quickly. Not only do when we become conscious and convicted about sin, do we realize the evilness of sin, but a lot of times, as saints, we think we don't have any indwelling sin. That's what going that blank, indwelling sin. Sin, sometimes you feel like because you hooked up with Jesus, you say, I have no. You ever hear somebody say that? They have no sin? I guess it's possible, man, that you don't have no sin that you know about. But you have. You have sin. Sometimes, I'm in a little girl, going to church, you know, like on Easter, and the pastor says, oh, she's just a pretty little girl. She said, oh, you're nice. You can come in, the girl's a nice little pretty girl. And he's trying to meet her. And then the little girl, one mama, she's just smiling on. And then she said, as her mama walking up, the little girl, I guess something must came over. She turned back to the pastor and said, Pastor, sometimes I'm hard to handle. You make a comeback. Hey, sometimes you think I tell the truth about this. Amen. Amen. But there are some things, I don't have. I'm so holy. Living free from sin. Oh, I ain't never had a day like that. I've been living 61 years and I ain't never had a day free from sin. Amen. I don't even know if I had an hour of freedom. Maybe when I was sleeping. I don't know, sometimes I'll be sitting in my dreams. I don't know. It's hard, but you got to remember, God is working on us.
Right.
You can't say that. But he said, so you say that you're a liar because it just you have sin somewhere. Paul, the apostle, said, "I do." This is what he said in Romans 7. I do not do what I want to. But I find myself doing the things I hate to do. That's one way to know you're a Christian. That's one way to know, because when you used to do the things, you used to love to do it. But now, when you become Christian, you hate to do it. But you find yourself doing it. And say, when I want to do good, evil. Because it's where God, when you got changed, you got raised, you got to walk to it in a way you want to live. And things you just want to give up, but you'll find yourself sometimes doing it. Because there's something in you. Even though Paul said, in me, I want to do right. But my flesh want to do wrong. He said it's a constant battle. Now you can win the battle in the fellowship.
Right.
The fellowship helps you to win the battle. If you ain't in the fellowship, you probably losing the
in trouble.
Losing the battle. So he said, don't deny that you have sin, but he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that brings that last point. There's a continual cleansing. If we confess really in the Greek it says, if we confess the sin of us. Because God's not going to show you all your sins at once. It's too overwhelming.
Yeah. Right.
He shows you areas of sin that you're working on. Once you kind of get that area worked on, he kind of delivers you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's convicted in every
process. Yeah.
Then you go, oh, wait a minute. Don't think you're all that. Amen. You got to go. You just in the first grade. Just because you passed the first grade test.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now you got to go to the second grade. I got to show you something else that's wrong.
Right.
And then pretty soon, you know, you work with that kind of help. You come over there. You're getting victory in that area. And then he shows you something else. And then by, you know, all down the line, you go, wow. I was really bad. And by the time you see that, you went back to the first one and messed up. I'm just trying to be realistic. Amen. But he's cleansing you. He showed you cleanse. This one, I'm messed up here. Okay, I'm going to use some power. Work on that. Cleanse that. You're looking a little bit better. You're looking more like me. Okay, oh, what about this area? Oh, another spot. Cleanse that. Another spot here. He cleanses that. So each time he cleanses you, give you the power to overcome, be victorious in that area, you become more and more like him. Mm-hmm. And as you go, every time you confess, you come to me.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can make you understand this. Confession is good courage, I got on that thing. Confession comes from the Greek, a homologia. Which means to speak the same thing. And what it means. So when you confess, you're speaking, you say, God, you said it was wrong, now I see it was wrong. Concurrence is seeing it's wrong. You're saying wrong when you see it's wrong.
Okay. Amen.
God will help you to see it's wrong. He'll help you to. You will say what God says about your sin
right.
When you see your sin like God sees it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it now. You will say the same thing that God is saying about your sin when you see your sin like God sees your sin.
Amen.
But you know, we don't see our sin sometimes. Like God sees
Amen.
Our sin. Amen. This is what we'll say. We'll try to make our sin a little bit better than it is.
You're right.
Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect, you know.
Lord, you know my heart.
Yeah, I know I messed up, but you know. Ain't nobody, which is nobody perfect, but that don't give you an excuse for
them. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You still need to see your sin as being evil. And then, you know, we say, okay, everybody's doing it. You try to think, you know, that's not wrong. Oh, everybody's doing it. But just because everybody's doing it don't mean it's a sin. Isaiah said, woe is me, Lord, and everybody's doing it, but it's still a sin. I still need to be cleansed.
Right.
Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's not wrong.
Amen.
And I know y'all can get a little bit quiet because some of these. That's all right, that's all right. Let me see what else I can find here. Oh, it's a new generation. Oh, yeah, back. Oh, Pastor, that stuff you talking about is antiquated stuff. Way back. Folk don't think like that no more. Folk don't do that no more. That's antiquated stuff. That's way back. Way back when Adam and Eve was alive. That ain't for today. Ever back then, we live in a new day. But see, God's truth is transcendent because God
right.
is transcendent.
Right.
God's truth is like 2 plus 2.
Yeah.
2 plus 2
always
equal 4.
Right. Right.
When my mama was born,
it was
2 plus 2
right.
equal 4. Grandma was born. 2 plus 2 equal 4 when the pyramids. That's 2 plus 2 going to equal 4. Amen. The same 2 plus 2 equal 4 is going to be the 2 plus 2 equal 4 in 21, whatever we live that long, the Lord.
Yeah, it's true.
Amen. it's going to always be the same. If it was wrong yesterday, if it was biblically wrong, now I know some traditions is kind of cultural, but if it was biblically wrong, if God said it was wrong, if he said it was wrong in biblical time, if it was wrong for Moses, if it was wrong for Isaiah, if it was wrong for Peter, if it was wrong for John, it's wrong for you. Right and wrong don't change. Preferences, and that's sometimes we got preferences and things like that, they kind of change. But right and wrong don't change. And then sometimes we say, you know, the Bible don't really say nothing about that, so I guess I'm free to do that. The Bible don't say nothing about that. Just because the Bible don't say nothing about crack don't mean you're free to do it. There's some biblical principles. Sometimes it's not stated outright, but there's some biblical principles that say you can't do that. Paul said, I'm free. Hey, to do a whole lot of things, but I won't be brought under the power. If there's something that can bring you under power, you might need to stay away from that.
Amen.
That's a biblical principle.
That's true.
Be not drunk with wine. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they have the other stuff, but then be not drunk with wine. Be not intoxicated with if it was coming all the hands back then with wine.
Right.
But now we've got new stuff. Just take what he said about wine and apply it to whatever you've been intoxicated with. Well, Pastor, you know, back then they did drink up. What about drink up blue wine? You don't drink up blue wine. You just can't get intoxicated with it. Pastor. So, I figure if I can just smoke a little. Is it all right for me just smoke a little? You get close to God.
Amen.
And if you close to God, and you, hey, if you can smoke it and pray, the only way you ought to be able to smoke and pray, if you're smoking it, Lord, help me. I need to let this thing go. But if you're just comfortable, anything you can't be comfortable doing in God's presence.
Yeah, that's real. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, let me close this out.
Amen.
It's getting worse and worse.
It's real.
Yeah, let me get.
It's real.
Let me share this with you, then we close this thing out. So when you see your sin like God sees it, you will say about your sin what God says about it. And there also will be repentance.
Yes.
Now let me show you why.
Amen.
When they say it, I mean, there's something they disagree with, but it makes sense, so it may have happened at some point in time. That when the Eskimos wanted to kill a polar bear, I don't know if they killed it for food or they killed it because it was problematic. But when they wanted to kill a polar bear, what they would do, they would go get a knife and dip that knife in wolf's blood. And then they freeze that blood. Then they go dip it again in wolf's blood and then freeze that blood. Then they would put that knife down in the snow. The polar bear would smell the wolf's blood. Think, you know, like rolling pork chop, you know. Mashed potatoes. And here comes the polar bear. And he'll start licking that wolf blood. He'll lick it and lick it until the wolf's blood is gone. Now he's licking the blade and the blood that he is digesting is his own.
Oh,
you did it, God. That's how God feels, I see. See, the flesh, man, see. Oh, yeah, that's what I've been waiting for. And you're going to get involved in sin, and pretty soon your sin is destroying you. That's why God is so against sin. That's why he hates sin, because he loves you and he hates what sin is doing to you.
Right. Amen.
That's what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit is like a parent who loves a child. But the child is going in the wrong direction. And you, but they're grown, they can do what they want to do. But it hurts you so much because you know they're destroying their own lives. That's how God feels about our sin. That's how God sees our sin. Because he's dead. No, just like that polar bear. Pretty soon, we're going to be drinking our own blood, doing harm to ourselves, and enjoying doing harm to ourselves. But when you see it, wait a minute. When you see your sin as being like that quarterback licking that blood now, you ain't gonna keep licking.
Right.
You're gonna repent.
Yeah.
That's why when you really agree with God, confession has a repentance. Because when you really see it like God sees, you don't want it anymore. You want to turn from it. You're saying like, Paul, I hate it.
Yeah.
But the stuff I hate, I find myself doing. But thanks be to God, I got some help.
Right.
I got somebody to give me the victory. I got somebody to help me overcome this thing. I got somebody that can deliver me from this thing. I got somebody to cleanse me. It's Christ. If you confess, he's faithful. And just. Why is he just? Why is he just? Because he would be unjust to let evil go unpunished. Amen. You know, sometimes when we look at these shootings and we feel like it's an unjust shooting of one of the members of our community and the person getting away with it, that judge, that jury, they were unjust. Because unjust, injustice is offensive to us. God didn't let these people get away with evil. It would be an unjust God. He said, sin, all sin has to be paid for. The question is, who gonna pay for it?
Yeah, yeah.
The charge is, you can pay for it throughout eternity. Oh, it's been paid for by Christ on the cross.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father.
I'm going to go with the cross. I'm going to go with the cross. 500. I don't want to pay for it myself. I want Jesus to pay for it. I believe when he died on the cross, he paid for my sin. I'm staking my whole eternity on that.
Yeah.
When I close my head, close my eyes in death, I'm trusting in what he did on the cross, that when I open my eyes in eternity, he'll welcome me home. It's all about the cross. Now, I ain't putting on what I'm doing. You see, why Christ wants us to deal with our sins, why closeness to him puts us to deal with our sins, because when we see how much he loves us.
Yes, right.
You love me so much. Folks, sometimes people don't love you. No, they won't tell you the truth. But when somebody loves you enough to tell you the truth,
Amen.
You got somebody, you got a friend there. But they love you enough to tell you the truth. They may not take it right at first. Stay out of my business. Go get you some business. But they love you that much, they can't keep. And that's what John, when John hung out with Christ, and the disciples hung out with Christ, Jesus talking to them, sharing with them, you know, hey, how different things can mess up your life, how you can have a good life, and learn so much from them, saw how they have a good life from him. They've been love good, despise evil. Been determined to make life that good. And John said, man, it was joyful. So I want y'all to have that same joy. I see how much clock looks. This is going to come.
Thank you, Lord.
Good day. Maybe you never confess. Maybe you think, oh, that's what I'm doing is bad.
Jesus.
God understands. You know, since he didn't meet my needs this way, I wanted him to do it, I had to meet my own needs. I did it in a different way, but he
understood.
God loves us so much. He wants to be there. If he comes to spend some time with me. If you're not perfect, that's okay. Let's go and talk to me. Talk to me. Share with me. Fellowship with him. Enjoy this dynamic, intimate, vital fellowship. And pretty soon your life will begin to be transformed. And I will change the whole